Take your Bibles, please, and join me in Colossians chapter 3 this morning. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to be focusing just on one verse of Scripture that's found in this passage. It's also the same theme as found in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. But in this passage of Scripture, we find a message to fathers. And the title of my message today is, Dads, Don't Ruin a Child's Confidence in God. I don't know that I've ever really thought about it in this particular form before, but I think it's something that we as men need to consider as we lead our families, as we teach our children and our grandchildren, that we don't destroy or ruin their confidence in God, because this is a focus that's given to us in verse 21 of Colossians chapter 3. And I read, Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Let me read it again. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this Father's Day. We thank you, dear Lord, for the Word of God that focuses our attention on many themes, including that of fathers. And I pray today that as we gather around your Word, that this would be a profitable time, that you would lead and guide in the hearts and lives of fathers, but also in the young men that are present here, future dads. I pray that they would take to heart the message of this text, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text is straightforward, and it's very simple. Fathers, do not provoke your children. You'll notice that it says there in italics, to anger. That is not in the actual received text there that was supplied because of Ephesians 6:4, where it's included there, and the translators included it there, but it technically reads, Fathers, provoke not your children, lest they be discouraged. There are three natural parts to this. Number one, fathers. Number two, do not provoke your children. And then number three, lest they become discouraged. But what I'm going to do it a little bit differently today. I'm going to reverse the order, and I'm going to take the last part first and work our way up to fathers as we consider this. I think this is so important. First of all, we're going to direct our attention to the purpose of Christian fathers, and that is, namely, rearing children who are not discouraged. And we're going to get into that word because it's an important word that dads need to be aware of concerning this specific message to fathers. Secondly, we're going to look at the duty of Christian fathers, and that is, do not do the things that discourage children. Do not do the things that discourage children. And then finally, we're going to look at the focus of the leader of the Christian home, and that is the father. Now there, I want to begin with the Heavenly Father, first of all, because if you read in the context of this particular passage of Scripture, the Lord's name is mentioned many, many times. In verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And then you go on and you see, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing whom? God. His name is mentioned over and over again in chapter 4. And so the focus here is upon the Heavenly Father, and that earthly fathers are to follow the pattern of the Heavenly Father. There are two reasons I begin with this idea of the Heavenly Father. Number one is that I believe all human fatherhood should be patterned on the divine fatherhood. That's the pattern that's given to us. Now, immediately our minds go to this. Oh, well, that's not possible. That's just not possible. That's out of reach for us. We can't be like our divine father. Let me ask you something. What are your boys and your girls? Who are they looking to for leadership? Dad. That's who they're looking to. I saw a statistic that was astounding to me, that almost 25% of children in the United States of America are growing up in homes without a father. Now you think about the number of children that represents. They do not have a father figure in their life. Some of them are in foster care centers and they're with assigned families that have a mom and a dad and so forth like that, and I'm glad for that. But there are a lot of children growing up in the United States of America that do not have a dad. And some of them are growing up in homes where the dad is not much of a dad. And that's the sad thing. We're going to be touching upon that as we look at this particular passage of Scripture. The second reason that I begin with the Heavenly Father is to give this message relevance for everyone in this room, whether you are a father or not, or whether you had a Christian father or not. I want to make clear from the outset that the sadness many may feel at never having had a father like the father that will be described today can be swallowed up and overcome with joy this morning, because God offers His fatherhood to anyone who will accept the gift of adoption by trusting in Jesus Christ, His Son. Do you understand that? One of the things that I have read about those believers that have been put in solitary confinement, some of them for years, prisoners of war, those in Russia. Georgie Benz told the story of being in solitary confinement for a solid year, having no one to talk to. And he said it was the presence of his Heavenly Father that allowed him to endure starvation, to endure freezing temperatures, to endure not having anybody to talk to. He said, I talked to my Heavenly Father, and my Heavenly Father communed with me. Even though you may be isolated, you may not have an earthly father, you may not have had a Christian dad, but you can have the Heavenly Father this morning. And He will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you, no matter what you face in this life. Do not become a victim. You trust in Jesus Christ, His Son, and you will have a father. An adopted father that is greater than any human adopted father. He is the Father of all. And I want you to know that as we begin this message. We're starting in reverse order, and so we're going to take up this, first of all, this theme of the purpose of rearing children who are not discouraged. As I've said, I don't know that I've actually viewed it this way, this verse of Scripture before, but that's the emphasis of the Greek text here. Do not rear children who are discouraged. Now, the goal of a good dad is to rear children who are not discouraged. Now, the word implies losing heart, being listless, spiritless, disinterested, moody, sullen, with a kind of blank resignation toward life. Dads, we don't want to raise and rear children that are like that. We want them to have spirit. We want them not to grow up sullen and discouraged and lacking courage. That's the idea behind the word, lacking courage. You know, children are naturally afraid of things. A loud noise around a baby will cause that baby to cry. Seeing an animal for the first time, a dog running up to a child, and they've never seen one, and they start doing this, you know, and you have to get them over that fear, right? The dog's not going to hurt you. Pet the dog. And you get them accustomed to seeing that. I remember the first time that Preston saw our cat, Muffin. Muffin is old as the hills. She doesn't hang around with kids a whole lot, all right? But she was in the living room, and Preston came in there, and he was learning how to get around. And the first thing that a child goes for is what? The cat's tail. Okay? And so he went for Muffin's tail. And immediately there was this, yeow! All right? And the cat jumped up. And he thought it was funny. So he did it again, two or three times. And then the cat took off. And it was round and round the couch for a while, and then the cat was gone. Now, the cat hangs out with Preston. The cat will come out, and Preston knows how to gently stroke the back of the cat, and the cat loves it. But the early days, it was, oh no, toddler in the room. Pew! Cat was hiding behind the couch. Cat was going here. Cat was going there. All right, they just, you know, they're learning not to be afraid, the cat as well as the child, all right? But, you know, there's been a few times that I've been scared by an animal. I'm good with animals. I love animals. I love petting animals. I walked into General Rental this week to pick up a carpet removing machine, and there was this huge, giant poodle. One of those, he was almost as big as I was. And I'm standing there, and all of a sudden I felt something brush up side of me, and I looked down, and this massive dog came out of nowhere. And he started taking his nose and nudging my hand. So I looked and said, is this your dog? And talking to the guys behind the desk. Oh, yeah, he just hangs out here with us during the daytime. So I started petting him. I had an instant friend. The whole time I was there standing in line, he was right there. He sat down beside me, and I petted and stroked his head and so forth like that. Then I did my business, and I started going to the door, and the dog followed me over to the door. And the owner said, That's all he did. The dog turned around and came back over. That's all he did. Dog knew, I'm not supposed to go out. But this guy was really nice to me and petted me the whole time he was in here. And so I want to go with him for a little ways. All right? How many of you have gotten to know the pets of owners of businesses here in Milton? Anybody? Okay. All right. There's a over here at the sign company on Stewart Street. They've got this little teeny tiny dog. He's very old, and I just love that little dog because every time I open the door and I come inside, he creeps around the corner, he sees me, he gets all excited, his little nub tail starts wagging, and he comes over to me and I go down and I pet him. I'm in there quite a bit, and just loving on that dog, and that dog just loves it like everything. And the owner, Tina, she always said, that dog likes you. That dog never comes to people. I said, well, we got to be friends early on. I've been going there for many, many years now, and I've watched that dog get older and so forth like that. But we're not afraid of each other. That's my point. In this passage of Scripture, God's encouraging dads to not rear discouraged children. Not to do that. Very, very important that we see this here. The goal of a father is to raise children that have courage. Now, what is the opposite of being discouraged? Well, it's being hopeful. Being hopeful. What's another thing? Being happy. How many of you like happy children? Yeah. We want children to be happy. We don't want maladjusted kids. We don't want kids that are miserable. We've all met them in life. I've taught a few through the years of my teaching in school where kids were just looked like they were angry all the time. They were just waiting for an opportunity. I had one of those kind of boys in my class in fifth grade, and we had a rough time to start with. He was angry at everybody. He had a chip on his shoulder, and anybody that looked at him cross, buddy, he was eating them for lunch. And I would have to go get in between him, and I said, now listen, you don't need to be doing this. What's your problem? And we would go on, and I had a lot of prayer time between the Lord and I. And I started praying for his salvation, and he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior in second semester. I was praying for it in first semester. But God still had some work he needed to do on me. But he came to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And you know what happened to his demeanor when he came to faith in Jesus Christ? He went from the crankiest kid in the class to one of the nicest kids in the class. He started helping the girls, which, you know, in fifth grade, girls are anathema. You know, the guys kind of, they're over here on this side, the girls over here on this side. And then all of a sudden, something happens in the sixth grade, right? Sixth grade, things start changing. So we discover the other side of the room. There's girls over there. They're actually pretty. Now, the girls, they're not thinking about them. They're looking to the older boys. That's the way it normally works. The poor guys in the sixth grade, they're out. It's the seventh grade boys that the sixth grade girls are looking at. I learned that very quickly. They were always looking the grade ahead of me, and that's why I had such a struggle with girls whenever I was in middle school and in high school. It couldn't have been me that was the problem. But anyway, God wants us to have hopeful, happy, confident, and courageous kids. And you know who bears the responsibility of bringing that to pass in the home? Dad. Dad. That brings me to a second thing that I want to emphasize here from the text. And that is your duty, Dad. Your duty. Do not do the things that discourage. Do not do the things that discourage your children. I want to describe two types of dads. The first kind of dad is like one that I met out here at the ballpark a few years ago. It wasn't this past year, but a few years ago, where I was standing over there talking. We always gather the umpires together a little bit before 5 o'clock, and we talk. We talk about rules and what things have come up and the messages I've gotten, and I communicate that to the umpires and so forth like that. And came walking up. This guy was pulling a wagon and had all their stuff in it. He and his wife were fussing at each other. Now, that never happens in your home, I'm sure. But this was happening. And she was getting on his case because the boy had been misbehaving in the car and Dad hadn't done anything. And Dad turns around and looks at his wife and says, "If you've got a problem with him, you deal with it. I'm not dealing with it." That's the first kind of dad I want to talk about. The dad who's kind of aloof. He kind of is above the fray, so to speak. Disconnected from the day-to-day operation of the home. We've all met those kind of dads. You know what you'll do, Dad, if you're that kind of person? You leave all the discipline to Mama, and you're kind of the good cop, and Mama's the bad cop. You know how foolish that is? There is no good cop and bad cop in a home. There's only good cops. Are you listening to me? There's no good cop. Mama's going to be the one that takes care of the discipline. I'm going to be the cool dad that sits back and they can come to me. And if Mama's too harsh to them, I'll deal with that. You know how foolish that is? That is anti-God. God wants dads that are connected with their kids, that are connected in every aspect of their children's life, including discipline. There are those kind of dads that discourage their children because they're just not actively involved. They don't know what's going on in their kids' lives. They don't know what their grades are in school. Well, that's Mama's business. She'll take care of that. No, dads, it's your job. It's your job to find out how your kids are doing at school. Being in communication with your kids' teachers so they'll know what. I try to make it. It's been my pattern through the years. I always want to know the dad's phone number. If I call about a parent, I want to talk to the dad. Some people run from daddy. I don't. I want dad to know what I'm seeing, because it's his responsibility to bring about discipline in that child's life. Now, I'm not trying to ignore the mamas, but dad needs to get on the move in the home. But a lot of dads are disconnected. They're hands off. Yeah, I don't worry about that kind of stuff. I just do the fun things with my kids. We do play, and we go here, and we go do this, and we go to the amusement park, and dad's the fun guy to be with. Is that a real dad? I imagine some of you grew up in homes where your dad, he was a force to be reckoned with. And praise God for those kind of homes. A dad would say, "Son, it's time to get up." "But Dad, it's 5:30 in the morning. It's time to get up. We're picking peas." I grew up in that kind of home. Well, we were out when the sun was coming up and the dew was all over the leaves, and we were in our short pants and t-shirt out there barefoot picking peas. And then we got the joyous thing. That was shelling the peas. Oh, that was great. Someone came into the office the other day and said, "I just had me a mess of purple holes." And my mind immediately started going back 5:30 in the morning, picking purple hulls. I love purple hulls because a purple hull sends up a shoot, and the purple hulls will grow off of that shoot out from among the leaves. Sometimes they'll grow under, but most of them are above. Not butter beans. Butter beans hide. Did you know that? My mom and dad said, you need to come lick your calf over again. I don't know what you're doing, but you're missing all kinds of butter beans. Well, I didn't see them. They're green. Like that's an excuse? Leaves are green. Butter beans are green. Pick them. So we would pick them and we'd go back in the house and we would sit for hours. Our thumbs would be raw. But you know what we learned? We learned about where food comes from. Do you know we have kids that are growing up today that food only comes from grocery stores? Yeah, where do you get peas from? Grocery store in a can or in the freezer section. They don't realize shelling, where the peas come from. We were involved in every aspect with my dad, from running a rototiller to planting the seed. Being out, my dad has a seeder that he's had for about 90 years, and he put the seeds in it and have a little marker. And he would go down, and the marker would be marking the next row. And so we'd turn it around, we'd start the next one and mark the next row, planting the seeds. And while we were doing it, we were watering them with our tears. Actually, it was sweat. But there was a few tears because we knew we were going to have to pick them and shell them later on. Okay, Lord, please give Dad a very minimal crop this year of butter beans. But Dad, if he had any gaps in the row on his beans, was back out there planting in between. So when the other ones were playing out, the new ones were coming on. So we had more work to do. But I learned some valuable lessons that I will never, ever forget. And I am so glad that my kids got to work at Nanny and Pop's pea patch. They got to pick peas. They got to shell peas. They got the same kind of treatment I did growing up whenever they were staying at Nanny and Pop's house. You know how important it is to be engaged in a child's life, Dad? To be the one that brings some hardship into the life so they learn how to deal with it. Character is not developed while playing. Are you going to listen to me now? Some of you are already getting, well, I don't believe that. Oh, yeah. Character is not developed with play. Character is developed by going through hardship and trouble. I've referred to these before. These big old oak trees that are out here on this campus have been through every major hurricane that's gone through this area. And they've stood right there, haven't moved a muscle. Pine trees have fallen over all around them. I've had to cut them and drag them off, and so have some of you. But I want to tell you something. The reason that oak tree out there on the playground is strong and vibrant is because it's been through the winds of hardship. And it sunk its roots down deep. And the tree is standing firm. That tree is not discouraged. It's not discouraged. That's the point that we're trying to make here. Dads, don't do the things that discourage. Then you've got the opposite side. You got the disconnected dad. And then you got the dad that flies off the handle all the time. Gets angry. And does all kinds of things. Let me just share this with you very quickly. I'm going to move ahead. Disciplining in an impulsive, erratic, and inconsistent way. That kind of dad. Sometimes we'll laugh when the kid does wrong, and the next thing you know, they're jerking them up and getting angry and upset with them for doing the same thing that they were laughing at the last time. That kind of inconsistency will destroy a kid's confidence in God because you're the earliest representation of God, Dad. Are you listening? You are the earliest representation in a child's life of God. And if you're impulsive, you're erratic, you're inconsistent with your discipline with your children, then you're going to create children that don't have confidence in God. They're going to place their confidence in something else that's a little more stable. This is so important to get a hold of, Dad. Don't do the things that discourage. I'm going to leave these three up here. Failing to be joyful in front of your kids and hopeful in the Lord. Some people walk around and they're just angry at everybody. They're discouraged by the least little thing. Be careful in front of your kids about politics. Can I just say this? How many of you argue with your television set when the politics comes on? Yeah. And you see the nonsense that's going on. I have to be careful because my first response is, are you kidding me? I've forgotten over the years about the times that I've made comments and so forth. Like, here, all my kids are looking at Dad. You know, we have to be careful about that. That we're not happy, we're not hopeful, we're discouraged and down and angry at all the things that are happening in this world. Let me tell you something, we've got the joy of the Lord. And I know who's going to rule and reign over this earth someday, and it's going to fix all these problems. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Be very careful in your life, Dad, that you're happy and that you're hopeful. But that doesn't mean that you walk around with a Channel 10 smile on your face all the time. You know, you got this little fake smile. Hey, how you doing? These fake politician smiles that you see so much. They come up, they're kissing babies and hugging women and all this kind of stuff because they're looking for a vote. It's shallow. There's nothing to it. God wants honest, happy, hopeful men leading children. He wants dads that are not disciplining in an erratic, inconsistent way. He wants dads that will be stable, that will listen to what's happened. And by the way, if you're constantly talking all the time and you never let your child explain what may have been behind their actions or whatever, you're an inconsistent dad. And you're going to have kids that aren't going to put their confidence in God. They're going to put their confidence in something else. You got to learn to listen, Dad. And that brings me to the third one, my last point here. Needling your children to somehow prove to yourself that you are in all points superior to them. You know, there are a lot of dads that live that way. You know what that brings to your children if you do that to them? Discouragement. They'll never, ever rise to the level of Dad because Dad's the smartest one in the room. Dad makes me feel like dirt. I'm just going to say this. I want to make it very clear. You may be smart and you may be superior, but you got a big problem if you're trying to needle a child to prove it. You got a huge problem. And you're going to produce children that are not confident in God because they're not confident in you. You got a big problem. It's called pride and arrogance and self. And you have to constantly needle to show them, I'm smarter than you are. We're talking about children. You're trying to prove yourself, you big man. How foolish can you be? Fathers, provoke not your children, lest they be, what? Murderers? Robbers? Sex addicts? No, what's the word? Discouraged. Just plain old discouraged. Dads, this standard is so important. Don't discourage your kids because of the way you live and the way you act. Encourage them. Don't do the things that discourage kids. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not a disciplinarian. You can be a godly disciplinarian, but you have to be consistent at it. And I'll say what our founding pastor always said, if you can't be consistent at it, then don't do it. At least be consistent in not doing it. Rather than ruin a kid's life, because you're one minute you're laughing when they do wrong, and the next minute you're angry and upset and carrying on and punishing them because of the thing that you laughed at the last time. You're inconsistent. You're not taking care of your kids. You're discouraging them. And so this morning, dads, be careful that you don't ruin a child's confidence in God, because this is related. This is related. Whenever a baby is born into this world, generally speaking, not always, but generally speaking, there are two very important voices that that baby's been listening to over the last 9 months in a home. How many of you understand and know that children within the first trimester are able to recognize their mother's voice and their father's voice? You understand that? It's a proven fact. A child learns their parents' voices. Now, what are they listening to for 9 months? I can't believe it. Yelling at each other. Oh, there's a happy home. And then the baby comes. And everybody's we're all happy. And what have they been listening to for 9 months? The baby's going like, who are these people? Where's my real mom and dad? That's not the same people that I've been listening to for 9 months. Whining and complaining about everything. Do you realize the impact that you can have even on a baby in the womb? This is not talked about in fundamentalism. It's not talked about in churches, but it ought to be. The kind of mom and dad you are before they come out of the womb. That is the real you. That's the real you. And then, whenever they arrive, God so blesses, allows them to be birthed. What kind of mom and dad are you going to be? Are you going to be a confidence builder in God in their lives? Or are you going to be a discourager? If you whine and complain and gripe and grumble, guess what kind of kids you're going to produce? Those that whine and complain and grumble and gripe about life. That's no confidence. That's sullen discouragement. And God doesn't want that for kids. Amen? God doesn't want that for children. He wants children to have confidence in Him. And mom and dad, and especially dads, it's our job to build up their confidence in God by building their confidence in us. That's how it works. If you're not going to do it God's way, then you're going to have to deal with whatever happens. But if you do it God's way, there's a blessing that's involved. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they be discouraged. Would you bow your heads, please? Father in heaven, I am so thankful that you're not a discouraging God. You never leave us nor forsake us. You're always there 24/7. We can call upon your name no matter what. I pray, dear Father, that you would work in our hearts and lives as men in this church to realize the importance of the role that we play in the lives of our children and our grandchildren. If we're not careful, we can discourage them, and then their confidence will be discouraged in God because we didn't follow your word. Help us as men not to do the things that discourage children. Help us not to be disconnected, but also help us not to be overbearing, needling our children to try to show how superior we are. How foolish. How foolish to destroy and ruin a child's confidence in God. The first exposure to God is exposure to dads and moms that children have. And I pray, dear Father, that we might be the right kind of example before our kids. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to take time this morning to have our dads come forward. I'd like for the men to come and stand here facing toward the audience. Would all the dads please come? I think it's important for us to honor our dads. We've got some dads that are in their upper 80s. We've got some dads that are in their early 20s. We've got a wide range here. And I want you to know this morning that the devil hates godly dads. Do you understand that? Satan hates godly dads. which means that godly dads are under the attack of Satan, wherever they are. And we need to pray as a church family for these men, that God would sustain them, that God would shield them and protect them from Satan, and that they would be the right kind of dads that don't discourage their children or their grandchildren, but that they might honor the Lord in their homes. Let's pray together. And then I'm going to have you come onto the far side over here, make your way across the front, shake their hands and encourage them with a word about how you're going to be praying for them. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for these men. Men that you've raised up here at Grace Bible Church to be a witness and testimony before our children. Men that know how to handle the Word of God at home. Men that know how to be consistent in their discipline of children. Men that know how to not do the things that discourage kids. I pray, dear Father, that you might encourage them today and that you might strengthen them in the task that they have to do. A man is never done in the role of a father. There's always work to be done in the lives of their children, in the lives of their grandchildren, and even now with some of these men, great-grandchildren. Lord, I pray that you would help us to stay in the Word. Help us to know the truth about being the right kind of father. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.